All right, how's everyone doing tonight? Okay, still a little iffy on the dating series, I see. So if we haven't met, my name is Trayvon Smith. I'm one of the young adult pastors on staff. And like Oakley said, tonight we're gonna be closing out our Hebrews series. And as I was preparing for this, I was just brought back to a time in life that I'm sure all of us remember. And it was 2020 when COVID set in. And everyone's life got thrown upside down. And we can't escape the fact that it was a rough time for some people. But then there was also this gap where many of us, it became kind of a social experiment of what new task or skills can I develop? And so I know for myself, it started off of, I was gonna try and learn how to play guitar. And I realized it's really hard. And then I decided I'm gonna read a book. And I didn't get very far. And I'm sorry to tell you, I still enjoy watching an hour and a half movie over reading 20 hours for a book. And it's just the way I'm wired. But one of the main things that comes to mind is that when we're isolated, a group of my friends all got together, and this started off as a joke and then became serious, of how about we run a full marathon? And some of you, I heard the groans are like, man, you got terrible friends. And I would agree at that time. But we came up with this thought of, okay, to challenge ourselves, we're gonna run this full marathon. And we had accountability. We were all on an app where we'd run and it'd log and show each other. And so it started off with like 15 of us. And then we started training. And then I got that little side cramp. And I was hurting, but we kept going. And then the reopening of the world just kept getting pushed back. And so that meant the date of the race just kept getting pushed back. And every time it did, someone else dropped off. And then another, and another, until finally we were down to 5 people. And right as the race was about to actually take place, they announced, we're not gonna do it, it's gonna be an online virtual marathon. And I was like, absolutely not. I ain't do all this to go by myself. And so I almost ran the race, but long story short, only one person did. It was my buddy A-Town, shout out to him. He's just different, he wanted to prove a point. But he ran the race by himself, and I think it's so great to remember the challenge of what we went through, of actually setting the goal. But then when I really think about it, almost is one of the most disappointing things when someone's telling a story. Because it's just a fancy way of saying they didn't do it. Me saying I almost ran a marathon just tells you that I didn't quite do it. It doesn't matter the details in between. And I think of this, I'll have another opportunity to run the OKC marathon. I've been building up to it. After that time, we kind of slow paced it. So I did a 5K and then I did the half marathon. This year we're gonna go for the full, but we slow paced up to it. But I think of this, there's time to go back and do the OKC marathon because of what's at stake. But then there's a bigger race that all of us are in, and it's the race of life. And in that race, your eternity is at stake. And so it has a much deeper weight of putting it off or not finishing it. And so tonight, as we continue on in Hebrews, we're gonna be in Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 2, and the author paints this metaphor of life being a race. And what advice does he give for us to actually see through it? And so as we go to the text, Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. My first point out of this is that you have to know the race you're in. You have to know the race you're in. Again, the author of Hebrews draws the illustration of our faith journey being a race, but not just any race. If you pay attention to the details, it says that it is one that will take endurance. Another translation says patience. one that you are surrounded by a great crowd. And I came to this thought. To start a race with confidence, you have to know the race you're in. The details matter. The destination. I think about it in elementary, you could challenge someone to a race and say, hey, we're going there. But the thing about a marathon is you don't get to just show up and say, hey, that's the destination. It's already set before you. And so it's important to know where you're trying to go. You gotta know where the finish line is. The other thing is the distance. I don't know how many of you are runners in here, but there, for me, it's two types of races. There's a number of them, but it comes down to two categories. You got a sprint, short and sweet. And then you got long distance. Sucks, hurts. I'm not a runner, I don't like it. And so, but I think of this, it's so important to know because they require a different mentality. They require a much different approach. Because for a quick sprint, you may be out of shape, you can do whatever you want, but usually if it's just short enough, you can make it there. But in a distance run, you have to be disciplined enough to not burn yourself out, to actually see through it and not quit. And so again, the author is painting this almost like a marathon, that is 26.4 miles. You don't just take that and go after it with no training, with no thought of how you're gonna approach it. And then finally, the details matter. For a marathon, again, 6.5 hours is the cutoff time. At that point, you get disqualified. And so it's important to know how fast you gotta go to be in the race. What pace do you need to set to get through? And I think of this, it's important because if you're running a race and understand that the prize is your eternity, don't you wanna know how to finish? Don't you wanna know what is gonna be required of you? We see, we get to see the race laid out before us. The destination is heaven, eternity with God. The direction is Jesus. It very clearly says, follow him. The distance is the life we live. And for me, I can't help but see that this is the gospel. It's understanding that there is a race before you, that Jesus has already gone before you and says, follow me, but ultimately, there is a destination and a prize at the end that we are chasing after eternity. We're not doing this aimlessly. And so for me, it's very important that we know these details because I see it all the time of so many struggle through because they don't understand where are we going. I've seen so many people dedicate their lives to Christ and they get to a certain point and they say, hey, I'm good. Life is good. Forgetting the destination. There are some that just go far enough and they don't realize like, hey, you're in it for the long haul. I get it. You thought it, your whole life was gonna change in a year, in five. And again, it's a lifetime. And then some that refuse to lay aside the things that they struggle with and they carry the weight, stumbling through, and they keep questioning, why am I not making progress? And so it's important to know the race that we're in. But one of the things I love about Hebrews is right before we get to this illustration, in Hebrews 11, the entire chapter is about faith. And it tells us faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then it goes on to recount story after story in the Old Testament of how by faith, we saw these old believers finish their race. We see this metaphor of a stadium at the beginning of this passage when it says a great cloud of witnesses. And it's referencing all those that have finished, imagine that they're just there. That they have already gone before you and set the example. That they make it clear that it is possible to finish. And they encourage you. And so, does anybody have just someone in their life that they personally got to walk beside and see live just a faithful life? for me, I think of my grandfather. My grandfather was a man that grew up on a plantation in Louisiana. He was the first in his family to actually go to the city to go to school. And so a lot of his growth was self-educating. And he went on to become a core engineer. He married my grandmother. He had three wonderful kids, one of them being my mom. And he lived a faithful life. But this came after a moment where he was known to close down a bar. And he was also known to not be afraid to close it with conflict. He'd throw them hands. But then I think of this. At one point, he got shot right as my mom was being born. And she's the firstborn, and his entire life changed. He devoted his life to serving God. And that's what I got to experience and see. I got to see years of faithfulness that he worked his job, and when he was home, he was gardening, or he was in what he called his meditation chamber. And in here, you would see the depth in which he would study. We have a couple pictures of, once he passed away, I actually went in there and I took some of them, but you would think that he was a pastor in the details of the things that he wrote out. That day after day, he went in there faithfully and studied, not to give a sermon, but simply to know what he was in for, to know the details of what was asked of him so that he could run faithfully. And for me, I take great encouragement in that. In fact, before the building that is in this picture, he had another one that burned down and he rebuilt it. But one of the things that stood in there was this Bible that I actually have right here, that it's charred all around the edges, and yet it serves as a reminder of the faithful life that he lived. Because every time I see that, I remember that he was someone that devoted his life to knowing the race that he had to run, and that he lived it. He ran it. And I think of this. It's a great example for me. The stories in Hebrews 11 are great stories, and they are great encouragement, and that's what they should be, to let you know that you can run the race. But I'm also reminded that I can't live a borrowed faith. My grandfather's faith, Moses, and the many others are great encouragement, but I still have to run it. I still have to live it for myself. And so it brings me to my second point, and that's that you have to run your race. You have to run your race. If you don't run, I suggest you ask somebody before you just jump out there for a race. It can be painful and full of surprises that you could have had a heads up on. There isn't a tire that you wear. There is fueling, there is focus, there's pacing, there's so much that you don't know, but you don't know what you don't know. And so again, we have the advantage of those that came before us, that we can utilize their lives to create a strategy. And so when I go back to our anchor passage, Hebrews 12:1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And the author here lays out two things as basic knowledge before you even start the race. And he says, lay aside every weight and sin that entangles you. And one thing I've learned about a race is that you want to be quick. You want to be agile. You don't want to be weighed down. It's going to be a long haul. You don't want to be carrying the extra things. And so he's saying, make sure you put that to the side before we even start. He's giving you a warning that this is going to hold you back. And it's leaning into the thought of salvation is where your faith starts, right? That's where your run starts. And at that, you have the opportunity to lay everything at Jesus' feet. We sung about it in the songs, but he can take the burden. He takes everything. And so we have the opportunity to lay it down and walk away, to be forgiven. But it says we have to confess it. We have to give it to him and not carry the shame and guilt. And so for some of you, my encouragement is to look and see, have you carried something that you weren't supposed to take with you, that's weighing you down, that's entangling you, that's keeping you from actually being able to run your race? But then you start. And when I was in the half marathon, I realized this. Everybody looks good at the start of a race. You go to a marathon and people come in all shapes and sizes. You have big, you have small. You got short, you got tall. You got the marathon pro, and then you got what looks like just a regular average Joe. And you can look the part real well. Like if you go to Red Coyote, you might drop a couple $100, but like they will lace you out with shoes, leg sleeves, the whole nine yards. And so when you get there, everyone's looking around. And it's kind of human nature. You start sizing each other up. And you start thinking, I should be able to beat that person. I should be with that person. Based off whatever biases you've created in your mind. And I think of this, it's such a dangerous game to compare in a distance race. Because any experienced runner knows that if you run too fast, you won't last. And so what does it look like when you begin your race? Of how do you start it? Who do you follow? Again, the author of Hebrews tells us, focus on Jesus to run our race. And this is because you can't see the finish line. And when you're in the race and you start, if you lose focus, you'll find yourself competing against others in the race rather than competing to finish. And it's important to note, a marathon is the one unique race where it goes unsaid, but your goal isn't to get first place. Majority of the people will never get close to winning first place. The OKC Marathon had 23,000 people in it. One person won. Yet you see thousands out there to cheer. Thousands in the race. And that's because in a marathon, the underlying goal is to finish. That is the win. Everyone gets the prize, right? It's the one race that is uniquely designed that way. But again, comparison can be such a dangerous game because I think of this. We all may have equal value, but we are not all gifted the same. Your race is going to look different than the person beside you. Athletics has an incredible way of making that crystal clear. You can train all your life as a basketball player, and there are certain things that LeBron James can do that you will never be able to do. Michael Phelps is set apart in swimming. Usain Bolt was set apart as a swimmer. I mean, as a runner. And so again, it's knowing you might look at them and think that, hey, if I do everything that they do, it'll look the same, and that's just not the case. That's not the way that God has designed us. But he did give you what you need to get by. Marathons have these things called pacers. It's people that hold up a stick that has a certain time on it. And these people are professionals. They have run multiple marathons, and their goal is to make sure that whoever's running with them finishes. If you stick with the pacer, you are guaranteed to finish. They're designed as a built-in helper. They will run with you. They will encourage you. They will correct your technique. Again, their goal is to make sure you finish. And I think of this. They're a built-in helper. And how quickly can we forget that even in our Christian race, we have a built-in helper? We just did a series on the Holy Spirit. And if you go back and you look at it, we see the many references that it says that it is the helper that is sent to help us along this journey. John 14:26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." And so we need to utilize the help to stay focused, to remember all that was laid before us, to be encouraged in the race that we will finish, to be reminded of the strategy, to not pick up what was left behind, to not turn back or quit, but to seek ahead to the finish, to keep at the pace of grace with the Helper, and it will see you through. Hebrews 4:16 says this, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." If you find yourself set on anything other than Jesus, you will forget that you're not necessarily competing to be first. He's already gone before you. He's already finished the race. He was first. But again, the unique thing about a marathon is you get to share in the prize if you finish. The goal is to finish. And so you can understand and know what you're in for. You can be surrounded by encouragement and guidance. But at the end of the day, you still have to run the race. And so what happens when you're in a race and you can't see the finish line? You're still off in the distance. And so my third point is this. You have to stay in your race. You have to endure for the price at the finish, for the prize at the finish. If we go back and look at verse 2, it says, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." What stands out to me is that Jesus had to endure. We must endure. We have to take on the grind of the race. There is no escaping it. Jesus endured, and we must too. And I think early on, something that tripped me up were people who romanticize this run with Christ, this Christian race. That it was easy, that it wouldn't be filled with suffering. And I listened to a pastor down in Texas named Dale Bronner, who I feel like he summed it up perfectly. He said, "You can walk around and be blessed and highly favored, but your feet are gonna hurt. There is no way around it. If you walk this journey, it's gonna hurt." When I was actually looking up this passage, the Greek root for race is agon. And it goes back to the thought of competition is to suffer through challenge and succeed. And so the root word agon, which is where we get agony, is actually what is being used for race in this passage. And so in itself, it's inciting that in order to get a prize out of a competition, you have to suffer through some type of challenge. And so in itself, the race is built and designed to be a challenge. There is no easy way around it. And so we have to know that we're gonna have to suffer. But you can suffer well. You can endure as long as you keep the finish in mind. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 through 26, Paul says this, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself may be disqualified." Discipline is to exercise self-control and to continue to do what you set out to do, even when it doesn't feel good, when it seems like there is no end, and when it seems you can't make it. It's to remember that you know there is an end to the race. You know others have made it, so it is possible. And so you have to discipline yourself to continue on. Discipline is to renew the mind, to get to a point where quitting isn't an option. So it's taking 1 mile at a time of sometimes just setting the small goals, the small victory. If I can just make it to the next mile, then we'll go from there. Sometimes your race is gonna be taking it day by day, because the metaphor is a marathon, which is, it all takes place in one day, but it's referencing life. And so that's a long journey. And so sometimes it's gonna be just one step at a time, just one thing. Again, I told y'all last week, I love Disney. Like, I can watch a Disney movie all day. Probably the most exciting thing about having a kid now is that I can go to the movies without any shame. And so I'm all set for that. But one of the thoughts that came to mind is the image of Dory. Most of you, I'm assuming, have seen Finding Nemo, right? And so if you have, then you know the motto that she had all throughout the movie. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. See, in the movie, Nemo's dad, Marlin, was full of anxiety. There are many times where he was fearful along their journey, and he wanted to quit. In one of the most pivotal scenes, when they're going into the darkness, we see Marlin, he's scared, and he's like, no, I don't know that we can go. And Dory just simply keeps saying, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. And it was the thought of, hey, sometimes we just gotta keep going, one step at a time, one step at a time. She had a resolve that whenever things got tough, I'm gonna discipline myself to just keep going, because there's something on the other end of this. And so I think of this, for some of us, we need to take on Dory's motto. Just keep swimming. Just keep serving. Just keep living. Just keep praying. Just keep showing up. And that may be the routine that you have to tell yourself to grow in discipline. But I also can't escape the thought of how important community is. Because if you go in that movie, Dory was so pivotal to other characters, whether it was the fish that she was gotten out of the net, or simply Marlin along the journey. And so some of you need to go and find a Dory, someone who's gonna tell you, just keep praying, just keep going, just keep showing up, just keep faith that this will get better, that something will come of this. Remember the journey that we're on. And so you have to get this resolve. And maybe you can get the motivation from her. Just keep going. As an athlete, you have to embrace this mentality that is, you discipline to delight. You discipline yourself to suffer through workouts, through training, and not because you necessarily enjoy it, not because it's fun, but because you understand that if you don't work now, that when the moment comes for the prize, you won't be able to compete. You won't be able to win. And so there comes this mentality of, I'm gonna suffer now so that I can enjoy later. And we're called to do the same thing in our Christian walk. We're gonna have to suffer through this world. We're gonna have to go through some things and keep the faith so that we can get the prize at the end. And it's to continue to discipline yourself to just stay in that. And what's crazy is runners will tell you about this thing called a runner's high. I still haven't quite experienced it. I've been running for a while. I'm trying. I'm hoping I'll get there in training for this full marathon. But distance runners will tell you that at some point you keep running that you become numb to the pain because you keep looking back at the accomplishments of how far you've come. And so you keep going, and then you realize, I've come too far to stop right here. And then your body starts to realize, all right, I'm not quitting. And so it's not that your body stops suffering, but your mind stops acknowledging it. It simply says, this is part of the journey, and you keep going. And you end up in this blissful moment where you're actually enjoying the run while you're suffering. And you're just floating through. And again, I'm hoping that comes to me. But I have experienced that in a faith walk. Of sometimes discipline is faith seen in the rear view. Here's what I mean. I've had moments for myself, and I've seen many others, that will utter something of, I just don't know if I can make it through this. I just lost my mom, and I don't know if I can make it another day. And then you just keep praying. You remain faithful, and then you look back and you realize God has carried you through 2 years. And you look back and you see the beauty of what he's done. Maybe it's, I'm suffering in a job and I just don't know how I'm gonna pay my bills. I'm stressing, I'm worrying. And yet God is calling you to remain faithful. Keep serving, keep tithing, keep doing whatever you're doing. You don't have to sacrifice your time to go make more. I'll provide. And then you look back and you see that he stretched pennies into dollars and you have no idea how. Or maybe one that's more realistic is, hey, I'm praying for a miracle. I need healing. I need something to change in my life. And you don't believe it. You shed tears in the midst of showing up, of being faithful. Of God, even though I don't see it, I've disciplined myself to remain faithful. And what does it look like if 12 years down the road, you get that healing? Because that's actually a story that we see where the woman with an uncontrollable bleed, she was faithful to the point where she believed if she could just get a touch of Jesus's garment, that she would be healed. And for 12 years, she suffered with that, and then she was healed. And so in that, sometimes it's knowing if you just keep going, you endure, you don't have to believe that everything is gonna, you don't have to understand that everything's gonna work out right now, but you do have to trust and remain faithful and believe that even what you don't understand, God is in control of, that he is still doing more than what you can see. And so sometimes faith, you don't feel it, you don't experience it, but you see it in the rear view, that I've remained faithful simply because I kept trusting God, not knowing what was gonna happen. God is big enough to handle the emotions and things that you experience in the midst of going through. Hebrews 12:11 says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And so again, it's the thought of like, discipline sucks sometimes. It's hard to dedicate yourself to something when it feels like it's hurting you. But it's understanding that what you suffer through today will give you a reward later. And so setting your mindset that I'm just gonna keep going. I'm just gonna keep going. That is how you finish the race. But then I think of one last thing in reference to when I was running. So I'm not the most graceful runner. Like I said, I'm still new to it. But this past year when I was running the half marathon, I remember I was going, I had my music on. I listened to the entire soundtrack of Hamilton the entire way. Like, it was great. Like, love that musical. But as I was going, I remember I'm like, I'm in a groove, I got everything. And then all of a sudden I tripped. And I mean like, I tripped and fell, and like, it was embarrassing, it hurt. But I look down and I realize my shoe was untied. And I think of this. We have to know that there is an enemy out there that has set stumbling blocks out there. That there will be things that come up that are outside of your control because it simply is that way. Jesus is the only one that was perfect. And so understand that along your race, you may stumble, you may fall. But again, going back to that mentality, you gotta get back up. You have to get back up to finish the race. But also, before you just take off, learn from your stumbling block. One of the most frustrating things is to see someone continually trip over the same thing and then question why they're not making progress. And so I had to get up, but I also had to tie my shoe. You will look stupid if you continue to trip over the same thing and not fix the problem. We are called to remove the stumbling block so that we can actually see it through. You can't finish if you keep tripping and falling. And so if you're made aware of what you're stumbling over, fix it. Do something about it. If it's a relationship, okay, set boundaries. If you keep tripping over those boundaries, break up. Okay, if you found yourself in an addiction, okay, confess, seek counsel. Put in boundaries and barriers so that it won't continue to trip you up. Because the worst thing that could happen is to not realize that, again, it's in the details, but you can get disqualified at some point if you don't finish the race, but also if you don't keep up, if you don't keep going and keep getting back up. And so you have to get over your stumbles. But it's important to know that don't confuse a fall with a failure. You can get back up and keep going. Failure is when you stay down, you don't finish. Proverbs 24:16 says this, "For the righteous falls seven times and rises again." One of my favorite stories is just the storyline of Peter, of again, a faithful disciple, but if you go and look, he stumbled so many times. At one point, he denied Christ. Like, that's tripping. That's tripping and falling. And yet we see him restored, and then we go on to Acts and see that he is the foundation in which the church is built on. He got up and he continued the race. And we're called to do the same thing. So to endure is to renew our minds. It's to get a mentality that says, I'm gonna keep going, that I know that this pain is here, but I'm gonna suffer well, because part of suffering is what leads to the prize. Because I can only receive the prize if I finish the race. 2 Timothy 4:7, to me, is what we all wanna be able to utter at the end of our lives. It says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." And I think this verse pairs so well with the metaphor of a marathon, because again, all will get to enjoy the reward as long as they finish the race, as long as they cross over into that finish line. And so I love that thought. And one thing that really drove this home is as I was looking at different stories of what does just a faithful walk look like, I came across a story of a mom who she wrote a blog. She has a special needs child, and she expresses the joy and also the pain of walking this journey with her child. Of this is the life, this is the race that I have to run. And she talks about the financial burden, the emotional burden, the joys that some will never understand, and also the sorrows that are along the same way. And she talks about how every day she has to choose to wake up and follow in love and guidance and trust that what God has placed in her hands is the race set before her. And this is how she said it. This quote says, "I will run the race hard. I will push through pain and fatigue. My race will be paved with tears, both of joy and immense sorrow. When I finally break the tape, Jesus will be waiting to catch me." And I love the image that was painted in this quote. Of she talks about, again, this triumph of victory, finishing the race, the joy that comes along, that even in the midst of this trial, there's still joy, but there's also sorrow. But then the thought of, hey, at some point, I'm gonna make it to the finish line where Jesus is at, that has already gone before me, and he's gonna catch me. And what a beautiful moment that'll be. To hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." To know that you have run a race well, you have finished, and now you ultimately get to enjoy the prize of being with Jesus at the right hand of the Father. Taking in heaven for eternity, knowing that you finished the race. And so what do we do with this? To me, a couple things stand out, but I challenge you, one, dive into God's word. Get curious, as Andy likes to say. Hebrews 11, to me, is just incredible of the number of stories of faith. And so if you're looking for inspiration, encouragement, go there. But dive into God's word. Study it as if your life depends on it, because it does. And let it navigate you. Let it rest inside you and guide every step. My second thought is lean into the Spirit. It says that you have been given a helper suitable for the journey ahead. That God thought of you and said, hey, you're gonna need someone with you. And as Jesus departed, he said, it's better that I leave so that the Holy Spirit can come and be with you. That is not accidental. And so lean into it. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit, what is it that you need to remove? What stumbling block? What weight? What sin that entangles you that may be keeping you from finishing the race? And then my last thought was this: live with eternity in mind. If you lose sight of the destination, if you lose sight of the end goal, man, you're missing out on eternity with God. That's a big weight. We can't afford to lose sight of that. And so live with that implanted in your mind. Keep the mentality of just keep going, because there's too great a cost to not. And so we're gonna go into 120 seconds. I just ask you to ponder on that, but I'll pray as we close. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for each and every person in this room, for the unique giftings in which you have designed us for the race that is ahead. Lord, we thank you for your Son that has already endured the cross, that has already gone and finished and won the race, but also in the victory that he has shared with us through salvation, that we also get to enjoy the prize. And so, Lord, would you continue to send the Holy Spirit to encourage us, to guide us? Will we be reminded of what our responsibility is to continue to chase after you? So Lord, we thank you, we love you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.